Double Talk, a podcast from fathersofmultiples.com. Welcome back to Double Talk. Once again, I am Michael Kaufman, father of twins and your host. Happy September, and just like the commercial used to say here in the U.S., it is the most wonderful time of the year. Back to school time. We have a really great podcast this month, with more from fathersofmultiples.com, and our monthly interview with a dad, this month of brand new twins, who has a really cool announcement for us. But before we get started, everyone here at Double Talk and Fathers of Multiples wants to recognize all of the first responders helping victims of the hurricanes Harvey and Irma, who thankfully are on their way out to sea at the moment. We have writers that were affected in both areas and want to take a moment to give them a bit of special attention, letting them know that we're here if you need us. You guys know who you are. Stay strong. Now, taking a look at the site, there are a lot of great articles on fathersofmultiples.com over the last month. First, are you thinking about maybe introducing a pet into the family? It's really not a bad idea at all, says writer Mike Soltis, with his piece, Pets and Babies Are Not Oil and Water. Now, as a proud owner of a Labradoodle, I could not agree more. Sometimes that dog is the favorite kid in the house. Aaron Lunsford has shared a great collection of essentials for every dad's diaper bag. This handy guide also includes a time-saving checklist that you can use to make sure that you're ready before heading out on your next adventure with your multiples. How different is parenting multiples if you're an LGBTQ household? You can find out the five things that make up Jeffrey's morning routine and how much it differs from your own. And one more post that deserves a special note because it might seem like magic to some parents. What if there were no more stepping on those little Lego pieces? It can happen when you get your kids to help with the chores around the house, using the easy-to-follow tips in this article about getting your twins to help clean up. All of this and more, only at fathersofmultiples.com. Now, this month's interview is extra special, and not just because he is another New York City dad like me. He's taken time from a jam-packed schedule to chat with us, even with four-month-old twins at home. I know that if I had 30 minutes to myself when my twins were that age, I think I would have simply put my head down and closed my eyes for a few minutes. Okay, we are here with Jeff Moore. Jeff, hello. Welcome to Double Talk, fathersofmultiples.com. Tell me about the new twins.
Okay, so June 2nd, my wife gave birth to two boys, John Atlas Moore and Jet William Moore. And it's been pretty interesting. They were a little preemie, and, as every expecting father would know, I was really nervous, during the pregnancy. And then to see them, it's just a really beautiful thing. And to watch them grow, it's an amazing thing, as any father would know.
They are really, really new. You are by far the youngest baby's father that we've had on so far. Okay. So you're looking remarkably good for somebody with really little twins.
Yeah, so they're just under 4 months old, and I got to tell you, as everybody knows, it's been really rough. They're just really starting to sleep a little bit later now, so we're getting a little bit of rest, but it's been really rough.
Well, I'm glad you're standing so that we can get to know you a little bit. Now, a little bit of background for you and I. I met you when my wife and our oldest daughter needed a cake. We needed a big fancy cake.
And you and your wife run a shop, Cake Alchemy, here in New York. And we were on our way for a tasting, and my wife says, you have to meet Jeff. You're going to love Jeff. You've got to meet Jeff. So I stroll in 10 minutes late, and my wife says, you're never going to guess what Jeff used to do for a living. And I, of course, you know, shrug my shoulders and say, you know, rocket scientist. And then she drops this on me. You're like a big shot comics artist.
Yes. I don't know how much of a big shot, but yes, obviously, you know, I did draw comics for I did comics for Marvel Comics and DC Comics. I'm a penciler, illustrator, and I've inked, and I drew, you know, I don't even know how many things I've drawn. I drew probably freelance for about 10 years or so. I worked for Marvel, DC, Milestone. I did things for Malibu. I don't even know all the publishers. I have countless stacks of pages at home, but comics have always been a passion of mine. It's something I've loved since I was 8 years old, and I think it's something hopefully I'm going to, you know, influence the boys. Hopefully they'll love it as much as I did too. And, you know, it's just a really, really fun thing that I've always enjoyed doing.
So we were talking a little bit about how the boys are going to become comics famous.
Yes.
Sometime in the near future.
Yes. Yes.
You want to drop a little bit of that on us?
You know, I'm always looking for the next great comic idea, comic strip or animation. And, when my wife gave birth to the boys, you know, watching them born, in my mind it was like, this is the greatest origin story, like, since, you know, Marvel Comics, you know, the origins of Marvel Comics. I said even Stan and Jack couldn't have come up with a better origin than this. And so I started developing an idea where I would have, like, both boys as superpowered babies. And right now I'm developing a strip called Atomic Baby and Jet Boy. And it's actually going to depict them in a world of babies as superpowered babies. So that's my next project.
Yes. Well, you know, I think all babies at some level are, you know, superpowered. Even if their only power is, you know, keeping mom and dad on their toes for far more hours than they need.
Yeah.
You have a couple of other things that you do.
Yes.
You're a painter. You're an artist of...
Yeah, I do large-scale paintings. I've always loved art. Again, it's something I've done since I was a child. I do large, realistic/abstract paintings, figurative. I do large ones. They're like 8 feet by 4 feet. They're pretty big, and I've got quite a bit of paintings. I've been painting seriously now probably the last 20 years or so, so I've amassed quite a collection of paintings. I've been playing guitar since I was about 12, 13 years old, and that actually went on. I play the bass also. I play keyboards also. I started playing alto sax when I was young. I actually even played trombone when I was a kid, but I can play virtually any instrument except for the drums. My father just said no to the drums. So, but, you know, when I was younger, I did a lot of gigs in the city. I did a lot of recording, and I actually was one of the first people to buy a multi-tracker at one of the big music stores in Manhattan. And I've always liked the idea that I could write and, you know, layer my own music. I can create my own things. And I've been doing that seriously probably, again, maybe 30, 35 years.
Wow. So you are – there you go. There's your role in the boys' comic. You're a Renaissance man.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm going to just throw the little trademark after that.
Okay.
So we have, you know, all these things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the boys. And then you've got the business. And we started mentioning a couple of minutes ago, talking about once the boys are a little bit older,
mm-hmm.
You know, pre-K to kindergarten, mm-hmm. once they're their own little people and they've got their own – you know, personalities, and they're doing their own thing for at least a few hours a day.
Right.
You know, what's next for you? You know, what's your dream for phase two?
Well,
or 12 or whatever.
13, 14, 15. You know, when the boys do get a little bit older and I do have those few extra hours, you know, I'd like to get back into comic books again. I'd like to draw again. It's, you know, once you love comics. Anybody who's a comic fan knows it's ingrained in you. You can't stop. It's it's just something that's always going to be part of your life. And, you know, I'd like to either develop something, a book about them, or maybe do some animation, or even if I go back into traditional superheroes. And, you know, there's just something about comic books. It's something that I'm always going to want to do, something I'm always going to love to do. And, you know, it's that's definitely something I'd like to do in the next few years coming up.
So I think that what you said is exactly correct. You know, once, you know, you're your own person, you're a guy, and before you become a parent, and you've got your own passions and your own thing. And then all of a sudden, over a small period of a number of months, everything about your personality gets this extra layer.
Mm-hmm.
So you said it perfectly. You were like, well, I'm a comics lover. I've been so since I was a baby.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, here are these two little people that change the way you perceive everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you still want to be a comics guy.
Oh, yeah.
But your first words were, I want to put the boys into it.
Oh, yeah.
So you're still doing the comics. You're still – it's all about the comics.
Right.
But all of a sudden, your first thought was, how do I get my boys, you know, into this mix somehow?
Yeah.
And they will find their own way.
Yeah.
But, you know, your theory was, how do I get them into the mix? And that's awesome.
You know, because – again, you know, as an artist, you're always searching, you know, for that next great idea, that, you know, storyline or whatever. And, you know, when I see them, you know, there is just nothing more important. You know, it's like, you know, in my mind, no matter what happens throughout the day, my whole goal is just to get home to see them. You know, I you know, or honey, text me, I need a picture of the boys, you know. It's a constant. And it will be for the rest of my life, you know. So yes, I do love comics, and you know, I love the boys. So that's a marriage made in heaven for me. You know, in some way or another, I'm going to figure out a way to make it work with them in the comics. It's going to happen.
I have no doubt, and I will be anxiously waiting to see kind of, you know, their debut in the world. Now, a couple of the, you know, my standard twin questions.
Mm-hmm.
Your boys are too young to really have their own individuality yet. At this point, they are, you know, little crying machines that keep you awake.
Mm-hmm.
But you showed me two pictures of the boys where, obviously, if they're only 4 months now, they were really little when you did those illustrations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they did have their own personalities.
Yes. You know, yes, granted, they are, you know, really young at this point. They're fraternal, so they're not identical, so they don't look exactly alike. And it's really cool because John Atlas, he's got a really different look from his brother. He's got like this crazy curly hair. He's got like blue eyes. And, you know, he's just always been a little bit bulkier. And, you know, I didn't realize this when I named him John Atlas, that he was going to look like this. And, you know, in my mind, you know, obviously Atlas, strength, you know, I kind of figured he would be the strong one in the books or whatever. And then Jet, you know, was kind of like my namesake. He's got like this baldy thing going on, which is actually really cool, you know, and he's a little bit more needy, and, you know, he's got almost pretty features. You know, he's almost like a pretty boy, you know. So, yes, they are still too young to have distinctly different personalities, but they do have individual looks. And, you know, one's a little bit whinier and the other one's a little bit mellower. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes, you know, as they grow.
It's going to change 16 times between now and birthday number one. Again, they're little. Now you're really dealing with that insanity of little kids at home, you know, not a second for yourself, plus all your work. What have you done that's helping you deal with that crazy of doing all these things at once?
Well, right now, because they're just past that 3 month stage and they are sleeping a little bit longer.
Yay.
So yeah, big yay on the side. So what I've found is that if I have something really important to do, I'll just wait till Lori's asleep and the boys are asleep. They generally fall asleep around 10 o'clock and they'll sleep to probably 5. So, which
you're,
is a,
you're
that's,
golden.
That's a nice chunk of time, you know. So if I have anything really important, something I really want to do, like if I want to work on the strips or ideas with them, I'll wait till like about 10, 10:30. So I have this little chunk of time. So again, although they are sleeping more, I'm sleeping less, you know. But I've found that that's the best time to do whatever I want to do for my own self.
So that may be the answer to this next question, where if you had to give advice to someone who says, oh, wow, twins, I'm expecting twins, what do you tell them for that first couple of months?
What I would suggest, and again, it's a shock and it's different for everybody. It was a complete shock to me. I would suggest that before their wife gives birth, to eat as well as possible, to get as much rest as possible. Really take care of yourself, because it's going to take a toll on you. Everyone's always like, yeah, I'll be fine. But, you know, you're really not going to get that sleep, and you're going to feel exhausted. You're going to feel like a zombie. You're not going to know if you're coming or going. It's going to be a shock to you. So I would definitely say get as much rest, try and be in as best a shape as you possibly can, and eat as well as you possibly can. It's a very important thing, because you're not going to be able to eat properly, because you're going to be interrupted every 5 minutes. You're not going to be able to sleep. The minute we got into bed and we had just got them to sleep, the other one started crying. So it's, you know, it's like you're never going to get that moment you think you're going to have once they're born.
Twins absolutely tag team.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know how they do it. Mm-hmm. They could be in separate rooms. They manage to.
It's something they work out in the womb or whatever. They just, you
they've
know,
got
they,
pagers.
Yeah,
that's what those pagers
yeah,
meant.
Yeah,
they,
yeah.
The kids have them.
Yeah.
One more question just about you and being a dad and this crazy new role that you've got. One thing that you're unsure about, mm-hmm. one thing that you really say, I can't stand doing that, mm-hmm. about being a dad. And nothing is a perfectly viable answer.
You
I always give people that out.
I'm going to honestly say, didn't have a very easy upbringing on my own. And my father died when I was about 16. So I, at that point, became overly protective of my mother. You know, my other two brothers, one brother's really crazy, the other one's out there. So, you know, I was somewhat grounded, and I really was overly protective of her. And that's a trait of mine that I've carried throughout life. So when Lori was pregnant, you know, I was like a security guard with her. I was like, you know, around her, you know, all the time. I didn't want anything to happen to her. And right now, I just, even with her and the boys, like if she's going outside and I'm not there, I'm like, honey, you make sure nobody gets near them. You be careful with them. And, you know, like if we take them out on the subway train, I have this little technique where I tell her, put your hand around them so that your elbows are kind of extended. So you don't want anybody near them, you know.
Yeah.
I'm overly protective, and even it's kind of crazy because they're not even crawling yet. I'm like trying to protect them. So I know as they get older, it's just, I can't say going to get worse, but I would say that's the one thing I hate, is that I'm always going to worry. I worry about them now, and I'm always going to worry about them.
I think
it'll just become more and more intense.
Speaking as another New York dad,
mm-hmm.
who also is kind of like that ultra aware, hyper protective
mm-hmm,
guy,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's New York City, I don't know. There comes a point where all of a sudden
mm-hmm.
the switch goes off.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you the first time I realized it
mm-hmm.
was when it wasn't even the twins. It was our older daughter,
mm-hmm.
who's now 13. When she first started walking and I needed to baby-proof the house.
Right.
Something happened where I was like, it's okay that
yeah.
she's a little bit at risk. It's my job to protect her.
Right, right.
And I just let her loose.
Yeah.
I had my big box full of baby-proofing stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I let her loose. And every time she'd find an outlet to try to stick her finger in, and I went, no, don't touch that.
Right.
I would stick those little plug things in.
Right.
She would toddle off to the next thing and try to pull the TV off the wall.
Right.
And I'd say, no, don't touch that, and I'd secure the TV.
Right.
And just as she worked her way around from, what do they call it, cruising,
right.
where they're just holding on and going from thing to thing
mm-hmm.
to destroy,
mm-hmm.
that's how I made my way
mm-hmm.
and baby-proofed the whole place.
Right.
Because I found every single thing that she would find.
She would
to,
yeah.
And it's what kids do.
Yeah.
So I let her lead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, be your own little supervillain
right.
self.
Okay.
Find whatever you
I
want
like
to
that.
Destroy.
Yeah.
And I'll come in and I'll
yeah.
fix it. And off we went. So
that works.
That's it. I mean,
yeah.
I guess the answer is, you know, let's find what we can, you know, what we can allow, you know, our families to do,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a great one. Is there anything so far, other than, you know, their physical appearance, which we talked about already, that makes them very different?
Mm. again, it's so hard to tell, but I feel Jet's going to be a little needy. John's, you know, you stick a pacifier in his mouth, he's cool. But Jet's always looking to you and, like, whining a little bit, you know what I mean? And I just feel like he's going to need that much more attention. John, you know, he's, again, like, he's like, hanging out. He's cool. He's, you know, he'll just sit there. Last night I put the Peanuts movie on, and he was just sitting back kicking, and he was just cool. He loved it. I guess the colors and the sound, you know. And, you know, Jet was liking it a little bit, and he was getting into it. But then, you know, he saw Mom in the room. He started whining a little bit. When I walked by, he started whining. So I think he's going to need that extra attention. Again, this may change, but I just kind of see
it's, that. It's going to change 12 times.
I just see that right now.
All right. That's a great interview. I'm going to throw some links to all of your stuff, you know, the 18,000 things on your list of things I do.
Okay.
I'll put them all in the show notes.
Okay.
So everybody can check out the cakes and the artwork, and we will definitely keep in touch. Okay. And you can, and we will turn the comic lives of the twins into a recurring feature.
Okay, that sounds great, Michael.
And we'll make great things happen.
Okay, thank you,
Jeff. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Now, I'll put all the links for Jeff's great stuff in the show notes. And if you're really lucky, I'll put a photo of the cake that he and his wife created for my daughter's event. It was really just mind-bogglingly awesome. Okay, our awesome Instagram contest is still available for September. You have plenty of time to post a back-to-school photo of your multiples with the hashtag #TwinsBackInSchool for your chance to win a Baby Dove prize pack from our super generous sponsor. And that's it for this month. Visit the site to get all the goods at fathersofmultiples.com. Make sure you do all that crazy social media stuff and like Fathers of Multiples on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, especially with that contest, and find us on Twitter at MultiplesFather. Don't forget, send your questions and comments to doubletalk@fathersofmultiples.com. I'll try to answer some of them on air next month, and I'd love to hear what you have to say. Tune in on the 15th of every month for another podcast with more great stuff from our contributors and an interview with another dad of twins, triplets, quads, quints, or more. Have a great month, and we'll see you next time with more Double Talk from fathersofmultiples.com.